which got me into a little bit of trouble.
That's not even funny.
Can't believe we came up with a whole episode, pretty much.
I'd be like, all right, I got 10 minutes. And I'd run to the computer, fucking pull my pants down.
The fire is lying.
I can't even say it. So stupid.
Mr. Dominic!
Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
What's going on?
I took my dong and I wrapped it around and shoved it into my cunt. And now I'm rocking back and forth like I'm listening to Michael Jackson and fucking myself. I'm stuffing my own sausage with my sausage. It's quite exquisite.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I just did the same thing.
Yes. I also had a cat lick my bean while it happened. It felt like sandpaper.
I did not do that.
You should try it.
That's perverse.
The texture is phenomenal.
It sounds like it would feel like putting an industrial smoother against my bean.
Yeah, well, kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
I also bottled some black kid at a bar last night. Kid
what?
Kid was getting uppity.
Oh, shit.
Don't get me started.
How's it going?
That's from the new CBS show, Sisters. The opening theme song could be us doing that Sisters song from White Christmas.
Sisters! Sisters!
Sisters! It'd be good.
I wore the dress, and we both stayed home.
I want that to be a show.
I was gonna say, I think that should happen.
I want that to be a show so bad. Like FXX will do it.
If any station will do it, probably them.
Station? What are you? Fucking 85? If any station on the old TV will do it.
They're not called stations anymore?
No, people call them channels now.
Most people say
if any channel. They don't say station.
Well,
station was a
do.
Leftover word from when they used to listen to radio, and it was WPIX on the radio.
I mean, yes, you're right.
But... I know I'm right. Stop trying to defend your use of station.
No, but some people. What about news channels refer to themselves as news stations?
Who?
Well, I know at least one local one does.
Now, I don't know if we can really count that.
I mean, yes. All right, it's a local news station in a pretty large market. I mean, it's. I'm not saying this is like. CNN calling themselves news station.
Exactly. I think they mean station as in, like, it's your one stop for news.
One stop shop?
Yeah, when you're on the train looking for news, this is the station that you stop at.
Maybe. I don't know. I like calling them stations.
Okay. So HBO is a premium station to you?
Yeah, it's a premium station. TV station. So, I don't see what the big That's the first time I've ever been called out for that. And I'm not saying you're wrong for doing it, because you're totally right. I just have never been called out for it.
Well, The people around you gotta grow some balls.
Apparently. So, what's new with you, Keith? What's Mr. Badela been up to?
Not too much. Just watching The Frasier.
The who?
The Frasier.
The Frasier?
Frasier.
Oh, Frasier. Yes. Okay.
I've been watching a lot of Frasier lately.
No one calls it that.
I call it that.
Well, no one else does.
You're getting back at me for the station thing right now.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
But I did this on purpose. I just usually call it Frasier.
No, I know. I'm the one that usually shortens everything. So I know you've been watching a lot of Frasier lately, which, you know, I used to watch it all the time.
Did you? Because I'm late to the party on Frasier.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not sure. I watched sometimes, like, when it was, like, the new episode. But I usually watch the repeats, so, like, I was probably a couple seasons behind.
Yeah.
And I remember there was another show that was on right before it, and it would lead into Frasier. And I remember feeling like I was lame for watching Frasier, but then I was like, I don't really care, and plus I have an excuse because this other show led into it, so I would just watch them both. And I can't remember what the other one was.
Was it Seinfeld?
No. In hindsight, I bet, if I had to take a guess, I bet that the other show is worse than Frasier. I bet if I look back at it now, whatever it was probably more embarrassing to watch than Frasier.
All right. So what are we thinking? Like,
well, remember, this is in syndication. This is a
okay.
But
right,
I don't know what this particular station put on before it. So I don't know. It could be anything. But we're talking probably like, oh my God, I don't even want to say this, but I was
mad about you.
No. That's a. I was gonna say the time frame. I'm thinking it's like 14, 15 years ago.
I probably was.
No, I know it's scary.
Let's see. Let's. Because I was thinking you were thinking of. Because Seinfeld, Frasier, and like Friends were all kind of around in the same time period,
right?
So when it turned into, and I promise the people at home we'll make this short, when it turned into Must See TV in '93, the initial lineup was Mad About You, Wings, Seinfeld, Frasier.
It's not a bad lineup.
No,
except for Mad About You.
I kind of like Mad About You. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but...
I mean, it's definitely the weakest of those four.
Yeah. Then we had Mad About You, Friends, Seinfeld, Madman of the People.
Yeah, don't know about that.
In the spring, though, that year, it switched to Mad About You, Hope and Gloria, Seinfeld, and Friends. I have no idea what Madman of the People and Hope and Gloria is.
I think they were two canceled shows.
Yeah, then we had Friends lead into The Single Guy, into Seinfeld, into Caroline in the City.
I remember Caroline in the City. Yeah. I don't think I ever really watched it, but I remember it existing.
Spring, though, Single Guy was replaced by Boston Common.
I remember that.
Boston Common, I kind of remember, yeah.
I never watched it, though.
Let's see. A little cough there. and then we had Friends, The Single Guy. Oh, The Single Guy came back.
It came back by popular demand.
Seinfeld, Suddenly Susan.
Oh, fucking in the fall, Susan.
In the fall. And then Suddenly Susan switched to The Single Guy time slot. Then it was The Naked Truth, and then Fired Up, because neither one of those shows lasted long.
See, it's you can tell that they came up with these new shows, and they're like, stick it next to Seinfeld. Like, stick it in there, people will watch it, it'll become a hit. And nothing could survive being next to Seinfeld other than, like, Friends.
So let's see. I'm just going to highlight the ones that I think are funny. Then we had 98. So Seinfeld's off the air at this point. So then we have Friends, Jesse, which I don't know what that was. Then into Frasier. Then into Veronica's Closet.
Oh, Veronica's Closet. Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Spring of 2000, we had Friends, a show called Daddy-O. Frasier and Battery Park. Let's see. They almost had it in 2000. They had Friends. Unfortunately, then they had Cursed / The Web Show, The Weber Show.
Cursed?
I have no idea what
that is. You think that's Kirstie Alley?
No, it's Cursed / the Weber Show with Steven Weber.
Oh, it's cursed as in, like, you're cursed.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, never mind.
Then Will and Grace, then Just Shoot Me.
Oh, Just Shoot Me. That just sucked.
Yeah, this was interesting. 2002, the spring, we had Friends, and then after Inside Schwartz and Leap of Faith in the fall and winter, they decide just for spring of 2002, fuck it, we'll just air another episode of Friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, out of options, apparently.
Yeah. But yeah, Frasier was on till 2000, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't any of... It wasn't any of those. It was definitely more of, it was definitely syndication.
It was like it was on like TBS or something, or
yeah, something like that. And I would just whatever the lead-in was, I would watch, and then Frasier would come on, and I ended up kind of getting hooked on that. And I watched it, you know, very regularly for I'd say a year or two.
You know what I bet you it was on? If it wasn't on, like, a local channel, I bet you it was on, like, A&E or something. And you watched, like, Unsolved Mysteries, and then at 5 it switched over to Frasier.
No, you know what? No, it was like a, it was like a WB or UPN or something, because you know why? It was something I got in my room at my parents' house, and I didn't have cable.
Yeah, the antenna?
I had the rabbit ears.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It was a regular ass channel.
Okay. So yeah, it was
a station.
It was like,
a station. That's a station. Right there. When you got the rabbit ears, yes, that's a station.
I'll give you that a station. I'll give you like if you were like UPN is a station, I'll give you that. But if you're like the only station that's gonna take it is HBO, no.
Yeah. No, I feel like it probably wasn't on UPN because there wasn't nearly enough black characters on the show.
No,
if any,
I think eventually they do add one.
Yeah, probably.
I haven't gotten to that part yet. I'm like halfway through the show.
Yeah,
I never really watched it though because I was like, oh, it's all real uppity and shit.
Yeah,
but then I'm watching it.
Wine.
Yeah, but it's really not.
No, it's not bad. I mean, it's it can be a little pretentious at times, but it's not.
It mostly makes fun of the pretentious people,
right? No, it's aware of the ridiculousness. So no, I never that's what I thought it was too for the longest time, but I ended up realizing it really wasn't bad.
Yeah. So I just started watching it, and. Well, I mean, I didn't just start watching it. I started watching it sometime last year. But I've been watching a bit of that. And that's really about it.
Yeah.
I got that work and just other stuff that I'm working on.
Nice.
Yeah. So, what have you been up to?
Well... Not too much. I mean, you know, same old. Nothing. I don't say anything crazy, or at least nothing to mention on the podcast, I guess. But I'll say something I have done, and I know you've done, and I don't know if you're ready to dive in.
Oh yeah, we did do this together. No,
not together.
Well, you've done it twice. I've only done it once.
Yeah, I have done it twice, and I actually enjoyed it more the second time.
I hear that's normal after you get through the pain of the first time.
Yeah.
After you get through,
you want to do it again.
The first one kind of tears you up a little bit,
right?
And then after you have some time to heal and you get used to the pain, the second time I hear is better.
Yeah, but the first cut is the deepest.
Yes, yes. As soon as that thrust happens, it's a real, just a lot of pain.
Oof. It's good, though. It's good pain.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's good pain.
Well, I guess I wouldn't know.
Wait, are we talking about the same thing?
I think so.
Well, yeah, none of that spoiled anything, unless you've actually seen the movie, in which case it's not a spoiler. But we both watched Force Awakens.
That's Star Wars to the layman.
I mean, does anybody not know at this point?
Well, I don't know.
It's like the number one movie of all time.
Probably not people that are listening to the podcast, but, you know, I'm just being thorough.
Yeah, you're taking the Stanley approach. Every comic book is somebody's first.
Yes.
So there's possibly,
right, exactly.
Like, this is in case Tom Hanks just came off the island from Castaway, and he was just like, what are these podcasts? And happened to find us first. I don't know why he wouldn't listen to somebody else first, one of the more popular ones. Somehow
us. He would listen to us first.
Somehow he found us first, and he listened to this episode, and he's like, what is The Force Awakens?
Right. And he's like, I thought that he didn't even know that the special editions existed. He's been on that island for so long.
Yeah, and he's like, why are they doing just shitty impressions of me? I don't sound like this.
What's with this voice?
I don't sound like this at all.
It's true. It doesn't really make any sense.
It sounds like they're doing Richard Cunningham from Happy Days. Or Ralph Mouth.
Ralph Mouth. It does.
This is terrible.
All right. So,
you know what I did with Wilson? I didn't even do a voice. I just let him speak in my head. Maybe that's the best part. Maybe these guys should shut up.
For a good podcast.
Yeah, maybe these guys should just shut the fuck up. Fuck you, I was on an island forever. I was all of Frasier.
Yeah, that's true. Tom Hanks, there is a new Star Wars movie. It is called The Force Awakens.
Dear Hanksy,
I have seen it twice.
Yes.
And Mr. Bedela has seen it once.
Yes, and it took me a while to see it.
And it took him a while. It took me a week, almost a week to see it the first time.
I just saw it on Sunday for the first time.
Yeah. So had I seen it twice before you saw it? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, you had. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
I just want to say, from this point on, anybody that, if Mr. Tom Hanks, Mr. Wilson, anybody else that for some reason hasn't seen it, because I think I was the last fucking person to see it for the first time, we're going to spoil the fuck out of it.
Yeah, so don't. So, yeah. Turn us off.
And the big things, we're not dancing around that shit either. We're getting down and deep and dirty.
Yeah, I'm getting my dick all in there to talk about. So don't get mad at us.
Yeah, and then I'm getting my dick in there to go the rest of the way.
Right. You've been forewarned about the dicks.
Right.
But
are we still talking about Star Wars?
Yeah. So, I mean, how do we want to start this? I guess.
So here's how I want to start it, is that when I went, part of the reason that I waited so long is because I was like, I've had such bad experiences at the movies that I'm just so worried about somebody ruining it for me.
Ooh. Okay.
So I went, and like, I probably should have gone sooner. Because then I would have been with all the nerds instead of, like, some families and stuff, like a weird age range.
Oh, yeah, so you were with kind of a real motley crew.
Yeah, so, like, they were doing trailers and stuff, and they did the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 trailer.
Which looks dumb.
Yeah, it does look really dumb.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then, like, after the trailer, kid was, like, singing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, that's cute. Did other people in the theater laugh?
A couple people did.
Yeah, of course.
They were like, oh. I think one person went, And then, like, they do the Carmike Cinemas logo, and then they do that Coke commercial where the parents talk about their first date, And the kid is, their son is, like, going to meet his date. And everything that went wrong on their first date is going wrong on his first date. But then he gets up and buys her a Coke and popcorn. And then she talks about how the first time that she met the father, like, or, like, she remembers the moment.
Really?
What?
I feel like I missed out on this.
Yeah, you did. And then, so then the mom is like, I remember the first time I knew you were the one. And she puts the hand on the dad's hand. And then you cut to the girl drinking the Coke and putting her hand on the boy's hand.
Oh, that's so lame.
And then they're just like, oh, so here's my thing. Is I'm like, there's no fucking way that this kid just met the girl of his dreams in fucking high school. That's fucking bullshit, because that almost never fucking happens. We gotta drop this bullshit.
And over a Coke?
Yeah, because you know what happened to the girls I dated in high school?
They got fat?
No, I don't know. I'm asking. Do you know what happened to them? No. I haven't talked to them in a while.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what happened.
And then, but then I hear a woman go, oh, maybe you should buy him a Coke and he'll fall in love with you. And I was like, who the fuck? Who was talking right now?
Who's and buying what is into happening? This shit? Yeah.
And then, like, right after that, because there's usually, like, the trailers that the theater shows, and then there's the trailers that come attached to the movie. And usually,
what kind of theater did you go to? Was it like a big, like?
Yeah, it was like a Cineplex.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, usually what they'll do is, because the way it works, from my understanding, is that, like, movie theaters can show other trailers, but there are specific trailers that they have to show in front of the movie.
Okay.
And, like, those trailers are attached to that movie. So usually what has happened the last few times I went, I thought, is that there'd be some trailers, they would do, like, the Carmike Cinema logo and the stupid Coke commercial with the false hope hood of love.
Yeah.
And then they would show, like, two other trailers and then the movie would start. But right after the Coke commercial, like, Lucasfilm came up and I was like, oh, fuck. And I was like, these people aren't shutting up yet. And then it came up and it was like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And I was like, oh, fuck, it's happening. I was like, this is happening. Yeah. And I was all excited. And then I hear a woman go, like, she's chatting. And I was like, what are you saying right now? It's happening. Shut up.
Like, why would you be talking?
Hey, I think we went to the wrong movie. I think this is how the first one starts.
Period picture.
Did they accidentally start the first movie? I've already seen the first movie. I want to see the next one.
So who did you go with?
I went by myself.
You went by yourself?
Yeah.
I thought about going by myself the first time. I did not, though. Because I went, the first time I went, went on a day off from work. I had taken the day and,
did you take the day just to go see Star Wars?
No, okay. I didn't, but it turned out that it was going to be a good day to go. So I was like, well, I'm just going to go. And eventually I had, some tag along with me. My friend Andy decided, he was like, oh, well, you going? I'll go again. But I would have gone by myself. It would have been my first time.
Well, I've gone, see, and this sounds sad, but a long time ago, I was just like, I'm just going to go to the movies by myself. And, like, yeah. I've done it before, because, like, schedules won't work with people, or I'll really want to see a movie, and, like, none of my friends will really want to see it, or, like, the ones that do want to see it, we can't make it work or whatever. So I'll just go to a movie by myself.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not, you know.
Well, because I think it all started, like, way back in history. My parents went away for a weekend, and I can't remember where the fuck they went. But I, like,
Niagara
was
Falls.
In New Jersey by myself. No, they wouldn't take a vacation, like, I'm trying to think. I can't see them taking a vacation just on their own. So I don't, I'm trying to think of where the fuck they would have gone but not taken me. I don't know, but it was like freshman year of college or something, like just after, like maybe just after senior year of high school or something like that. And they went away. So like I had the house to myself and it was the first time I was kind of like on my own. And one of the days I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? Oh, wait, actually, I just remember the movie that I saw so I can tell you the exact year. So actually, no, this would have been after sophomore year of college, I think. Because the movie I saw was Clerks 2.
Oh, okay.
I was like, I really want to go see Clerks 2. And I was like, I had like the whole weekend or whatever. And I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to go to the movies by myself. Because there was like one other friend that I think was around, and then he turned out not to be around that weekend or something. So I was just like, fuck it, I'm just going to go by myself. Mm-hmm. And then I had an enjoyable experience in that movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm okay with doing this from now on.
And that's good.
I've gone, I wouldn't say a bunch of times, but I've gone a handful of times. Spectre I went and saw by myself. And, you know, because I asked my wife, I said, wife, where's dinner? And then I said, wife, do you want to go see Star Wars? And she said, no and no. So,
wow.
Well, no, she would go see Star Wars, but she was like, I don't know.
And you didn't want to make her.
Yeah, and I was like, look, I really want to see it. And I was like, and I really want to see it this weekend. And she was like, I know. And I was like, and I think I'm going to go see it probably, I'm not going to want to leave work and then go see it Saturday night. So I was like, I think I'm going to go earlier in the day on Sunday. And she was like, okay. So I got up and I looked at times and I was like, okay, I want to go this time. Do you want to go? And she was like, no, I don't think so. And I said, okay.
Hmm. Well,
so I just went. And for the most part, had an enjoyable experience except for the ladies talking at the beginning trying to figure out what movie they were in.
The second time I went, I was supposed to do something else. I was supposed to go actually to a museum, but that's not a science museum. But
the one in Boston?
The one in Boston, yes.
Oh.
That one. But
my wife used to work there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When she lived up there.
Oh.
For that brief period, she worked there and was, because they had the Harry Potter thing,
that.
And she was working there. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but it ended up being closed early. So, so the nice young lady that I was with asked if I wanted to go to the movies, and I felt she didn't want to ask me to go to see Star Wars again, but I was all too eager to see Star Wars again. So,
So she wanted to see Star Wars.
Yes.
Had she not seen it?
No, she had not seen it.
Oh, okay.
And I think she was kind of like, do I really want to ask him to make him sit through it again? And I was like, can we go see Star Wars again?
Oh, yeah, because I was going to say, she was like, do you, I don't know, maybe want to, and you were like, you want to see Star Wars again?
Yeah.
I do. Let's go.
Yeah, we were actually like, oh, we'll go see something else. And then when the times worked out that Star Wars was the best option, I was like, yes.
the other movie that I want to see that I will also probably go see by myself is Hateful Eight.
Yeah, yeah, I want to go see it as well.
I really want to see that, and I know my wife doesn't want to see that, for sure.
Yeah.
She probably, like, I might, depending on her mood, I might have been able to talk her into going to see Star Wars. But, like, I think one of her concerns might have been that she would feel a little lost in it, because she doesn't, like, she's not as big of a Star Wars fan as you or I.
Right.
So she'd be like, wait, what's happening? Like, why is that important? Why did everyone just cheer when they said a hunk of junk and then pan the camera over?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why is that happening? So.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah. It's tough. It's tough if you're not already into it.
Yeah. Although I will say they did do a good job of not making it too inaccessible.
No, it wasn't.
I feel like if you just kind of knew the basic story of the original trilogy, you would be able to understand what's happening in this movie.
Right.
I mean, fuck the prequels, because I don't even know what the fuck happened in them.
So here's what I want to know. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being Empire, 1 being Episode 2, where do you rank this new Star Wars film?
Okay, I'm going to put it... And again, I've only seen it once. So I'm going to go Empire, New Hope. I might go Force Awakens and then Return of the Jedi. They're kind of tied for me right now.
All right.
Because the last time I watched Return of the Jedi, there's really not a whole lot that I like in there.
Mm-hmm.
As we talked about, the Jabba Palpatine is way too fucking long.
Obviously, yes.
There's, like, too much, like, farce on, like, when they're trying to drop them in the Sarlacc pit. And, like, Han Solo's just turning around and happens to, like, kill somebody or something. And Boba Fett then, like, flies off into the pit. It's just, like... And then there's the Ewoks...
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know.
Yes, but at the same time, when Jedi's good, it's great. Like, it's not as consistent as the first two, but, like, those scenes on the Death Star with Luke, Vader, and the Emperor, those are some of the best scenes in the entire trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think what I'm gonna say is it goes Empire, New Hope, and right now, until further viewing happens, Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens are tied.
Okay. And so.
And then everything else comes after. It's all tied for last.
So would you say you scale 1 to 10? You're giving it around an 8, 9?
I'd probably say 7, 7.5.
Okay. So I'm going to give it about a same rating. Now
I totally thought you were going to say 6.
No. I would give it about the same rating. Now 7 is not, you know, we're not bad mouthing it at all here, because if Empire is a 10, being a 7 is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? Let me clarify earlier, and I said Episode 2 was number 1. Episode 2 is below. I'll put Episode 1 at a scale of, on a level 1. Not Episode 2 is an abomination to cinema. But I'll give this like a 7-ish. I do not think I like it as much as any of the original trilogy. That doesn't mean I don't think it's close to Jedi or comparable to those movies.
Okay.
Because I do think it is.
So, part of me was just very, did you have your hopes up going in? Or, because my hopes were not up for it.
See, mine weren't originally, but so many people talked it up so much that I mean by the time I went to see it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't have my hopes up, but like, so we have a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, women talk and I want to punch them in their faces.
Yeah.
And then you hear the music and the thing starts scrolling up, and I had this emotional reaction where I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Right.
Like, I am sitting here, and I'm going to find out more about what happens to Luke, Leia, and Han, and Chewie, and R2-T2, and I guess I can hear something about C-3PO. I guess that's, you know, if you got to put him in there, fine, just tell me more about C-3PO.
He did have a great line in the movie.
He did.
The part about, you probably didn't recognize me because of the red arm.
Yes, which they don't fucking explain.
No, although I heard that they're making a comic about it, basically explaining the red arm.
Okay, I want to read that just so I can find out what the fuck's up with the red arm. But yeah. Hang on, so before we go I mean, C-3PO can be our lead-in because he was for the original trilogy. But it gave me such, like, a reaction, and then, like...
I thought you were going to say erection.
Yeah, well, I almost did, but that's also because I was jerking on my dick the whole time.
Yeah,
but
me too. But
they it just had this great reaction to it where I was like, this is, like... It felt like the first time I had watched Star Wars, like, with my dad. Mm. And he was like, oh, you're homesick. You want to watch something cool? And, like, popped in Star Wars. I don't really remember if I was homesick or something. I just know we were both home, and that usually only happened, like, on the weekends, or if, like, he had a random day off or something, or I don't know. Anyway. So I just had this great reaction to it, and I was just like, I love this. Just because it gave me all, like, this connection that I hadn't had in a long time, since I watched, like, the original ones for the first time.
Right.
So, I think that that's part of the reason that I put it up to that level almost.
Yeah.
Also, because the prequel sucked.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Compared to this, they are terrible.
Oh. There's no comparison. That's the thing. It even if you weren't in love with the new one, which I don't know many people that aren't, but even if you weren't, the fact that it is legitimately good and you are able to, you know, you were able to discuss it in the same breath as the original movies without it being a complete embarrassment is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me is an accomplishment enough that I'm okay with them, with it, you know? I think it's better than that. I think it's better than just being better than the prequels.
It's
actually very good. But the fact that it's not embarrassing is important.
Yeah, oh no, it's super important. So I think one thing that it did really well is that, I don't want to say it learned from Jurassic World, it like was the same thing as Jurassic World.
Because
Jurassic World was almost the same movie as Jurassic Park.
Right, and this was
almost the same movie.
Thing as A New Hope.
Yeah, it was like different story, but it had a lot of the same beats to it, and right. Just in different places too at the same time. But it had different beats to it, or the same beats in different patterns or whatever. And it kind of almost felt like the same movie without being the same movie. Just enough to get you to the point where you're just like, this is a Star Wars movie. Because the prequels, it's like, wait, what the fuck is happening? We gotta sit through this, like, C-SPAN thing, and then, like,
the trade organism, yeah.
And then they swim around, and then there's robots and shit. What the fuck is happening in this movie? Right. But this movie, had a lot of the same ones. The first ones that I can think of, let me know if I'm missing anything, is that we have a jailbreak. That's real early on compared to the first one. But we have a jailbreak.
Mm-hmm.
We have a droid with hidden data.
Yep.
And we have some kind of unlikely pairing happening.
Yeah. Yes, as far as plot elements go, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's more to come later on.
I mean, obviously there's the ancillary things, the desert planet.
Oh, yeah, desert planet.
And that's right, yeah, like you said, right off the bat. There are – this is one thing I think for me that it detracted slightly from the movie. And I'm not – again – I'm not bashing it by any stretch, but...
You don't have to defend yourself here. It's a friendly environment.
In what you say, it makes it, you know, recognizable as a Star Wars movie. And while that is important, and I think necessary, especially in the context of the last few movies that we've had to watch, the prequels. I found it to be a little too safe, let's say. I found it to be too like A New Hope.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying to a detrimental degree. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that
you just wish they had taken more,
a little bit more risk with it.
But the thing is, it's a $4 billion investment that Disney just made. They just bought it for $4 billion.
Right.
And they have to make a movie that's going to get everybody back on fucking board with it.
Right. I get it. I get you can't. I'm not asking them or wishing that they had gone way out of the box, because part of the problem that, like you said, with episode one is that you don't know where the hell you are. It doesn't even feel like a Star Wars movie. It's not even recognizable as a Star Wars movie they force it down your throat. But
yeah, you know. Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
No, but wait, is that Darth Vader? Yeah. Anakin Skywalker. Then why is he in a fucking pod race? We don't know, but it's Anakin Skywalker.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. Why are you yelling at me?
But the,
I just got the image of somebody watching it in the movies, and it's George Lucas sitting behind him.
Just flannel on a bed.
Just explaining what the movie is.
He's such a fuck.
But he's more... The best impressions I've heard of him are more Kermit than what I was doing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, but it's not like a Skywalker.
He does sound like Kermit. But,
go ahead.
No. I was just going to say it. I would have preferred it to be a little. You know what? I'm not looking for it to be different in the way that I didn't want it to feel like a Star Wars movie. I want it to feel like a Star Wars movie. I want it to look like a Star Wars movie. I'm glad that there were stormtroopers and there were Star Destroyers and all that good shit, X-Wings, all that. TIE Fighters.
Nazi overtones.
But, yeah, big time. But I would have... I mean, the plot was essentially the same as A New Hope. I mean, it was the same. The plot didn't need to be exactly the same. Similar elements, sure. But having the big weapon...
Yeah,
that destroys planets, that you gotta go blow up, that you got the people infiltrating, that, you know, it was very...
It was more towards the end, though, that it felt too much like they... It felt too much like they started to copy A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
But it was... It wasn't as bad as when Star Trek Into Darkness remade Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, it wasn't that egregious, but it was still kind of there. Because you get to the point where you're like, oh, the droid is here and he has the data. And now let's make up a battle plan. And, like, they have the glowing map, and Admiral Ackbar is there, and then the one X-Wing fighter pilot is like, yeah, that's no problem. Like, we can totally do that. Like, I expected him to be like, yeah, it's no bigger than a Womp Rat.
Right. Yeah, it was... You're right. When you get towards the second half, especially the final act, was just very, you know... Right out of the script from A New Hope.
Because they even had fucking Porkins 2.0.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. It was actually a guy, I forgot his name, Greg Grunberg, who's been in a bunch of stuff. He was in like Heroes and shit, and it's been a bunch of stuff. But I looked at him, and he had the beard and everything, and he's kind of a heavy set guy sitting. And I was just like, and then he, whatever his character name is, like Hank 3 checking in. And I wanted to be like Porkins 2.0 checking in.
Yeah, I know. They should have like done a play on the name Porkins or something.
Yeah,
but yeah. That was one of my biggest complaints about it. The other one would probably be, I felt like at time the movie it couldn't decide whether it wanted to be plot driven or character driven. I felt like it was a little. I'm not going to say it was thrown together. It wasn't, but I felt like it was very unfocused at times, where you would they'd be going after a certain like objective, like they're trying to do this, they're trying to get the droid back, and it kind of goes off on this tangent of of this character development that only gets so far. Like, I understand you don't want to blow your load all in one scene or anything, but I felt like the movie kind of kept interrupting itself, trying to get back on track with the plot or back on track with the character development. And just that, to me, again, it's not enough to make me dislike the movie, and it wasn't detrimental. It just was a little disjointed.
I guess I can kind of see what you're saying now in retrospect, but I really didn't feel that way.
No,
it didn't. Nothing seemed to stand out to me about that. There were some bits that I couldn't decide if I liked or not, and I'll see if I like them again. So going back to things that were just like A New Hope, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Kylo Ren as the, I don't know who the fuck Kylo Ren is.
Rey is the girl.
Yeah, I think I saw that in my notes and I jammed it all together. Yeah. Kylo Ren is like the Darth Vader character of the movie, which is interesting because he doesn't need the mask. He chooses to wear the mask because
he's a fanboy.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And it's almost like they were like, shit, we need a Darth Vader character. And they're like, okay, let's put him in a mask and we'll have him have like the almost, we'll almost give him the Bane voice, but not quite.
Yeah, it's along those lines.
It wasn't as bad as the Bane voice, though, because he wasn't really doing, kind of a crazy voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bane, I thought, was always doing, like, a weird, like, Adam Sandler impression, like, of course! But, like, go back and watch that part where it's like, of course! And you're just like, is he doing Adam Sandler right now? Kylo Ren, though, isn't really doing, like, it's not like he's trying to do the Darth Vader voice or anything else, but he does kind of have that voice to him. But they're like, we need that character, and then they were just like, well, let's just make him a really big fan of Darth Vader, and it'll make sense then. And it does, and I'm totally okay with that. So I didn't really see the Kylo Ren twist coming, but I wasn't that surprised when they dropped it.
Oh, that he was
Han Leia's son.
I kind of assumed that.
Okay.
Now I think I might have. I don't know if I took this. If this is because of. You know, I used to read a lot of like the expanded universe stories, stuff like that.
Hmm. See, I've only read I think one series of that, so I don't know enough about that to. I wouldn't have been able to draw from that. So that you might be right.
And I'm not saying that. That's probably not even because I've been told it's not really legit anymore. Like they're not following any of that.
Yeah, it's not considered canon.
Right.
As the kids say.
But it kind of gave me the impression that I was like, oh, that's probably their kid because they had kids after blah, 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 blah. So that to me, I was actually very not surprised about. Actually, the one thing I was surprised about is that I thought just because I was always told they had twins was that Ray was not related to them.
Well,
maybe related, but not. Yeah.
So hang on. So
not sister.
Right. So yeah. I wasn't surprised by the Kylo Ren twist.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how they didn't like, they just dropped it in there and they didn't save it till the end of the movie. Cause that would have seemed like a ripoff. Like, they were just like, you waited that whole time just to fucking tell me that it was Han and Leia's daughter, like, or son.
Right.
Okay, so that... Let's stick with him for a second, and then we'll get to Rey.
All right.
Because the one thing, my point of kind of bringing him up first is... He's such, like a piece of shit kid. Like, yeah, even without the Force and being a wannabe Sith Lord, like, he's such a piece of shit. Because he flips out over everything.
Yeah. He throws temper tantrums all the time.
Yeah. And the one thing that I wasn't sure if I like, because they do moments of comedy in the movie which are funny, but almost kind of take me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I don't know if upon further watching it'll make more sense to me. But one scene in particular is, I think, like after Rey escapes, he throws a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
And they do a wide shot, and two stormtroopers come down the hall, and then they stop, and then they just turn around and go back. Yeah. And that's really funny.
Yeah, it is.
But I was like, I don't know about that, like, that timing choice. But then again, I can't remember the scene that comes right after that. Because it might have been one of those, like, break the tension kind of scenes to more easily transition to the next thing.
Right. I forget as well.
Yeah, so, upon further viewing, but there were some comedy stuff like that where I was just like, I don't know. Cool thing about the escape scene, though, where Rey... Well, actually, let's get into Rey, and then we'll talk about her escape scene.
I know what you're going to say.
Let's talk about Rey. She was actually probably my biggest problem with the movie.
Really?
Because she could do anything that was necessary. She was like the MacGyver of Star Wars.
Yes.
Basically. And yes.
She knew how to fix a ship that she had never flown before.
Well, first of all, she could fly a ship that she had never flown before. Then she could fix it. Then she could do all these crazy maneuvers in it, too, by the way.
Yeah, she was good.
She was really good. She could do all of this stuff to it, fix it, bypass the compressor, which apparently was a big fucking
deal. Yeah. I didn't understand that. Like, it was like this big like thing.
They put in a compressor. God damn it! I knew he wasn't. Wait, what's a compressor?
Yeah, I'm not.
Hey, Dolores, I don't think we're in the wrong movie. I just don't know what's going on.
I didn't understand why that was a point of interest to anyone.
I think it was just like a gag that they just like
that just fell really flat.
Yeah, that was just like it got a couple chuckles, but you're just like, oh, fucking compressor.
Yeah, like,
I don't know.
Not for me.
Anyways, but yeah, she could do anything that was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I would question as much if they weren't so big about when Finn and her first meet about making a point that she's, like, an independent woman.
Right.
Because, like, he keeps grabbing her hand trying to, like, be like, I want to impress her because she looks pretty and, like, you know, I like her. So I'm going to grab her hand and try to, like, pull her to safety. And she keeps being like, let me go. I can do this on my own.
Right.
Which, like, the first time was fine and everything. And, like, even the second, like, it was all fine. And then all of a sudden she was just like, she was like, she was like the John McClane of Star Wars or the MacGyver or whatever. Like, she could literally do anything. You could put her in a situation. She was just like, I got this. Don't worry about it. And you're like, how the fuck does she know how to do all this shit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's on the Starkiller base, and she, like, guards are coming, so she just goes, oh, let me climb down this wall, and then open this door that happens to be here, and I'll just climb inside. Like, how the fuck do you know how to do that, lady?
Right, right. Yeah, it was to a ridiculous extent.
Yeah, and, like, she, so, obviously, she has the Force.
Yes.
But, like, she knows the legends. She definitely knows the legends of what happened and the Jedis and all that. And then she clearly, like, the lightsaber speaks to her. Luke's original lightsaber.
Which they don't explain how I got.
Yeah, she just goes, oh, I had it for a long time.
Even though it fell down the pit in Bespin.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
I don't know. Every time I bring that up to people, they're like, "Well, you know, they found it somehow," and I'm like, "Or the, you know, the Force," and I'm like, "Yep. That's your answer for everything. The Force, because, like, well, literally, you can just use it to explain anything away." You can just be like, how did they meet each other? That doesn't make any sense. Why, you know, on that huge planet, why would her and Finn have run into each other? Well, the Force, it puts people together. And it's like, Jesus Christ, anything's possible.
So he cuts off his hand with the lightsaber in it. And then it falls.
Yep.
And then how does he get underneath Cloud City? Does he fall the same way?
He falls down the hole, and then he gets sucked into one of those tubes. Or, well, I don't know if he gets sucked in or if he wills himself in with the Force into one of the tubes, right? And then he slides through and then falls out the bottom.
Okay. So there could be a, like, it could just be sitting at the bottom of Cloud City.
If it went in one of those tubes, but it's floating over a gas planet.
Yeah, but the gas planet isn't the thing that's keeping it up.
I know, but I'm saying that pit that he was in, I mean, I think that went all the way down to the planet.
I don't think it did.
I don't know.
I never thought it did. I could be 100% wrong, but I never thought it did.
See, I always thought the bottom did go, but you might be right. It might not go. All
right. Like, Lobot could have found it at the bottom and then somehow given it to this lady.
Okay, you know, here's what I'll say, though, about it. Maybe the pit doesn't go to the bottom of the city. Because maybe the bottom of the city doesn't have a big hole in it, which, you know what, now that you say it, I don't think it does.
Okay.
However, if it was there, if it just fell to the bottom of the pit on Cloud City and it was still up in the city, why didn't Luke go back and get it?
Maybe he didn't know it was there. Or maybe he did, but somebody had taken it.
It just, I would have thought he would have investigated.
Maybe there's a comic that explains it. Maybe there's a comic that explains C-3PO's red fucking arm and the lightsaber thing. I don't know.
It's just a little bit of a point of contention for me. That's,
I don't know. We'll look this up and then do a follow-up episode and see if there's a reason, if there's a comic book somewhere out there that explains it. Where the fuck were we? Oh, Rey. So the lightsaber fucking talks to her and, like, I feel like at this point she should clearly be like, I have the Force.
Yeah.
Like, things are happening, she should be like, I have the Force. Also, because she knows all these legends, and then she escapes the Starkiller base using Jedi mind tricks.
Yes.
So, obviously at that point, she has an inkling that she has the Force.
Oh, yeah.
So she's like, I think I might have the Force. And then she Jedi mind tricks Daniel Craig, which was kind of awesome.
Yes.
I had heard that he had a cameo in it. And the only thing I read that was he was like, they were like, he's a guard in the detention center. And I was like, all right. So I got to keep an eye out for him. And then they were there. And I was like, oh, my God, it's him.
The classic one inept guard.
Yeah, yeah. He's the, and the guy that's always, like, known now for seducing women gets Jedi mind fucked.
Yeah.
Very,
very, it's very progressive.
But he's, yes, it is very progressive. So he gets, so she uses a Jedi fucking mind trick on him. And she gets out. And then she even, like, then everything else happens, yada, yada, yada. Then they're in the woods, and, like, Finn's trying to protect her and has the lightsaber. Then he falls, then there's in the thing. And she uses the Force and pulls it to her hand.
Yeah.
And then it's not till, like, 2 minutes later, after fighting, that what's-his-face, Kylo, is just like, I can show you the ways of the Force. And she's like, the Force, you said? And yeah. She has this moment where she, like, is, like, accepting the Force. But I was like, you were already way better than Luke Skywalker in the first movie. What are you talking about?
What bothered me is that she is already, she's doing all this shit, and obviously, yeah, she's still a novice and whatnot, but she's doing this shit, and she has no training and no knowledge of how it works.
She has no Obi-Wan Kenobi.
There's no mentor, there's nothing. Like, how does she even know that the mind trick thing is a thing?
Yeah, well, maybe just because she knows the legends.
Maybe.
So, but here's my thing with her. And how I'm dealing with this right now. Is, I wonder if, because we don't really know anything about her. We just know that her parents left her on a desert planet.
Mm.
And they're probably not coming back. And everybody's like, oh, that's cute. You think they're coming back, but they're not. But maybe her actual origin story will be explained soon. Like, maybe we'll actually find out that there's a reason that she's pretty good with the Force already, and, like, they just wiped her mind. Now, there's two theories on this. One is that she, like you were saying before, is the other half of the Han and Leia twins.
Yeah.
That Kylo Ren was one of them, and then they split them up, because that's what they did with Luke and Leia, and she's the other one.
Right, that was my initial thought.
But that doesn't really make a lot of sense, especially with how Han Solo talks.
Yeah. Like, wouldn't they have said something? Like, wouldn't they have known? Like, with all the interactions that she has with Han and Leia, like, wouldn't it have come up?
Well, here's the thing, though. Here, there's one thing here that's making me think that could possibly still be true. Is that Han never, Han never talks about her like he knows it's his daughter.
Right.
So I wonder if there's a chance that Han doesn't know that that's his daughter. And, like, maybe. He never knew that it was twins.
Maybe not.
Like, Leia was there and Luke was there and Han was doing whatever. And they gave birth to twins and they were like, we should split them up. And, like, Luke took this girl, Rey, with him, dropped her off on this planet, and then kept going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, because the original reason that they're on the planet is to get the information. And it's from, I can't remember the actor's name or whatever. Max von something.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe he was in charge of watching over her, kind of like an Uncle Ben kind of scenario.
Oh, God.
So Han never knew. And the only thing that makes me think that is when she kind of, like, he says the Force thing. She has this moment where she seems to be, like, connecting with the Force. And Leia's obviously connected with the Force.
Mm-hmm.
And then that scene when she comes off the Millennium Falcon and, like, everybody else kind of rushes and everything. And then it's just the two of them hugging. Where I was kind of like, maybe, they know, like... they're connected. Like, maybe they know their actual relationship, and Leia's like, she's my daughter, and Rey's like, that's my mother. Like, you know what I mean? That's the only thing that makes me think that that might be true.
Yeah.
But there's also a theory that it's Skywalker's daughter. Luke's daughter. Yes. Skywalker. Yes.
And there is a lot of... There's a lot of evidence to suggest that. Mm-hmm. The fact that she was the one that gets sent to go find him in the end.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that whoever she's looking for isn't coming back. The fact that the lightsaber interacted with her through mm-hmm. the Force. Her having the pilot helmet on.
I didn't even think about that. Think about that, because that seems like it could have just been a remnant of the Battle of Jakku.
True.
The way they set it up.
There's also a third... there's also a third theory, though.
Okay.
That she is somehow related, granddaughter, something or other, of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh.
Yeah, if you notice, throughout the movie, like... perfect example, like when you said she, after she escapes, she uses the Jedi mind trick, she escapes from being, you know, captive there, she's sneaking around by herself, she's climbing around just like Obi-Wan did in the Death Star.
Obi-Wan does do that a lot, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of similarities between some of the things she does and Obi-Wan in A New Hope.
Yeah, and that too would explain a bit about why she's so good with the Force, and like, because they could have easily, you know, taught her some of this stuff, either Luke or Obi-Wan, even, or whoever Obi-Wan's son was, or whatever.
Yeah, it wouldn't have, right,
it
exactly.
It would have been Obi-Wan, you're right, but like... she could have been educated in this stuff and then just kind of forgotten that she was educated about it.
It's possible.
Or they could have brainwiped her and been like, you will forget about this.
I actually heard that theory today.
The Obi-Wan theory?
Yes.
Okay, because I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, and I heard that and I liked it. It sounds... pretty reasonable.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. So.
What I like, though, is that they're kind of setting up, like, she's an inexperienced Jedi. He's kind of an inexperienced Sith. And, like, now they're kind of in battle with each other.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, it's almost like kind of like a Game of Thrones-esque kind of thing. Like, who's gonna rise to power first?
Yeah. So yeah, like more battles to come between these two.
Yeah. Catch us Thursdays, must see TV, right after Friends and Veronica's Closet.
Yeah, ooh, Veronica.
Let's see. So I did like, so we talked about briefly before the fact that C-3PO has quite possibly the best entrance in the whole movie.
Right.
Like, Han and Chewie's is pretty good.
Yeah.
But C-3PO's has to be the best because it totally encapsulates his character. Like, yeah. Han and Chewie just bust onto the Millennium Falcon, and they're just like, And then, all of a sudden, you have this really nice moment with Han and Leia seeing each other for the first time in a long time, and C-3PO just sticks his big, dumb fucking head into the screen.
It's perfect.
Yeah, Commander Solo, it's me, C-3PO. You probably didn't remember me because of this red arm. Yeah, but you're still just as annoying as ever.
Oh, he was so annoying.
I wish he had said that, but he just... Yeah, just,
he didn't say anything to him.
Yeah, Han Solo just kind of, like, stares at him and lays there awkwardly, and then, like, C-3PO, like, kind of looks back at her, and she's like, you done? And
he's like, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't think anyone says anything to him, actually, until R2-D2 wakes out of his... gets out of his funk there, which was...
Oh, really? Like, everybody purposely ignores him?
Yeah. I don't think anyone says a single word to him.
I think he just talks to BB-8.
Yeah.
Because then his next line right after that part is like, come on, BB-8. And then I was like, how the fuck does he know BB-8? And I was like, oh yeah, BB-8 was what's-his-face's droid, so I'm sure that C-3PO knows him. Okay, that makes sense. And then he talks to BB-8 again when he's talking to R2-D2.
Right.
But it's like the friend that everybody puts up with just because they want to hang out with the other guy.
Right, right. You're like,
so, like, just because they want to hang out with R2-D2, they're like, fine, fucking talk to C-3PO. Son of a bitch. Nobody even cares about how he got the red arm. He's like, oh, it's a funny story. Hey, where's everybody going?
Hey, by the way, yeah, I'm not here for you.
Yeah, red arm. I fisted a girl on her period. Where's everybody going?
Nice.
Why's everybody gone?
So, we kind of just touched on it, but I want to know, what was your opinion on Harrison Ford's role in the movie?
Hang on, because I feel like there was something we were about to touch on right before that.
Oh.
Maybe not, though.
Sorry, I wasn't feeling it.
So, 3PO, the red arm, no explanation, we're done with that. Han, Leia, he had the best answer. Maybe we didn't. Okay. I apologize to anybody that's screaming at us right now, listening to us, telling us that we did skip something. But, Here's the thing. This is going to sound very cold, but it was kind of his time to go.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed very old in that movie.
Yeah.
And, I mean, granted, he's got to be, what, in his 70s now?
Yeah, he's in his 70s.
I mean, he's good for his 70s, but, like, he's still just, like, he can't do, like, the action anymore. Like, he can't be the Han Solo that we want him to be.
No, and to their credit, I don't think they tried to make him like that.
No, there were a couple parts where he just kind of seemed like... He almost was doing kind of the part where we first met him on the freighter, where he kind of had to run a little bit, and we're just like, oh, boy. But I know Harrison Ford doesn't want to do any more movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew he didn't want to do any more movies, and his original thing was like, Han Solo should have died at the end of 2, I think. Is it at the end of 2 we wanted Han Solo to die?
Yes, he wanted to die, in Empire, yep.
So it was like, I just want Han Solo to die. So I wasn't that surprised, actually, when they did kill him off. And the thing is, though, this is the best way possible to get him out of the movies.
Yeah.
It's the most meaningful way to do it. Because if he was like, they might have sat down with him and he was like, I don't know, maybe I could do a second one, but I couldn't do like a third movie in a new trilogy. Like, I just wouldn't want to. And they were like, well, we have this idea on how to get you out in the first one that I think really works. And I don't know. I guess we could maybe do it in the second one, but we don't have as good of an idea. And he's like, just do it in the first one.
Yeah.
Just like, as much as it sucks, like, because you're just like, oh man, Han Solo's all over. At the same time, we are getting a new Han Solo, because they're going to do, like, the Han Solo, like, standalone movie at some point.
Right. The young Han Solo or whatever.
Yeah. So what did you think?
I liked his role. I was very skeptical about him being in it. I was a little worried that it was going to be too forced.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh, I didn't even mean to.
Forced.
I thought he was good. I thought he was very good. And I honestly didn't think that he or the script really had him doing anything outrageous. I'll say on the death thing, when for those of you who don't know, Kylo Ren kills his father, Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
But when that happened, because I love Harrison Ford and Han Solo so much, I actually kind of felt at peace, because I knew that Harrison Ford wanted the character to die in Empire, and I felt like he finally got what he wanted. He was finally at peace, and I was very much okay with it. Like, I was almost glad it happened.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the best way to... It's the best way to do it. Because the thing is, like... It's interesting. So one of the things they set up earlier on is, like, it's interesting because Anakin's thing was always being tempted by the dark side. Luke's thing is kind of being tempted by the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kylo Ren is tempted by the light.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really kind of cool, because you would never think about it that way. But he's always being tempted by the light. Wrapped up like a deuce, another roller in the night. But he's... when he kills his father, you're just like, oh fuck, this guy's dark side all the way now.
What an evil dude.
Like, there's no way this guy's coming back, because not only did he kill his dad, he just killed Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, alright, well, now he's 100% bad. But then also, the thing that I was thinking about is at the final scene then, with Luke and Rey, there is no fucking way that on that tiny island, that castaway-like island, to bring it all around.
Yeah, bringing it back.
That castaway-like island, that Luke did not see the Millennium Falcon make an approach.
Same thing. Like, first off, he could probably sense that someone was coming, someone that was strong with the Force, even if he didn't know who it was.
Yeah. But
then, you see the fucking ship come in.
He sees the ship come in, and then he's standing there, and he's probably like...
Okay, what's taking her so long?
It's gonna be, like, maybe it'll be Han and Leia, maybe it'll be, you know, like, I don't know what he's thinking necessarily, but I think he's still expecting Han.
You think so?
I think he's still expecting Han. What I'm thinking is he kind of is expecting Han. Because here's the thing. I think Luke has kind of a little bit turned away from the Force.
He's obviously living like a hermit. You think he's probably not using it very much?
I feel like he's not really practicing the Force.
He's gone off the grid.
I feel like he's turned away from the Force a little bit and not really used it and kind of maybe put up some walls. So he's not as in touch with the Force as, like, because, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi could have sensed that Han Solo died.
Yeah, I guess.
But I think he had to, like, put up walls, because otherwise he wouldn't, like, his sister would know where he was at, you know? Like, she could sense him with the Force, too.
Right. Leia's, yeah.
So, like, Leia could probably sense him out if she even tried a little bit. So, like, I think he kind of forced it off. So, my point is, I don't think at the end of the movie that he knows that Han Solo is dead when he sees the ship come in, and he's expecting to see Han. And maybe. Then that Rey comes in, she's holding the lightsaber, and he's looking at her. And look, Mark Hamill is not a name that people would say is a good actor. Like, right. It wouldn't be Mark Hamill, the fantastic actor. That fucking last scene, though, where he doesn't even fucking say anything, and you can see the look on his face, like, that's some good fucking acting right there.
Yeah. I mean, for just a look? Yeah, you're
for
right.
For just a look, because he's like, oh shit, like, and he's, oh shit, like, things are going bad, and oh shit, now I'm getting dragged back into this, and like, he's worried, he's scared, like, there's a bunch of stuff going on, and it's not just like a blank expression, but like, you got a full range of emotions that you're just like, alright, this is the tone for where we're going with the next movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's standing there looking at her, and she pulls out the lightsaber, and there's that really kind of long pause between them. And I think that's the moment that he realizes, like, Han's not coming, is he? And then Han's death is what brings him, like, helps motivate him to come back.
Is that what you're thinking, where they're going to go with it?
I think that's part of the thing that brings him really back into the fold.
Because he's like, there's a menace out there that killed Han Solo. I need to...
Well, I don't think it's necessarily that. I think he's more like, that guy killed my best friend, and I made it happen, and I have to do something about it.
Mm.
And I can't necessarily do anything about it myself, but I can help. So, you know, he's like, my best friend is now dead because I wasn't around, so now I have to be around.
He's going to pretend to be reluctant. You know? He's going to play hard to get.
Yeah. But then he's going to get all cocky, and he's going to be like, hey, it's no bigger than a womp rat. I got this shit.
Yeah, and he's going to start pushing Pigman around and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because deep down, he's kind of a dick.
Because he's fucking Luke Skywalker.
Right.
No, I think he'll... I think Han Solo's exit from the series was good. I think it served an excellent purpose in multiple ways. I think it made sense, and it wasn't like forced in how you did it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that they even figured out how to hand off the Millennium Falcon to the girl without giving the idea that he was thinking he was going to die. Because when he says, oh, you know, I think Chewie and I were thinking about maybe getting somebody else on board.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe offering somebody a job, would you be interested? You're not like, oh my god, she's going to take over the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
Because it's so well set up beforehand. And I didn't even really think about it now, I just knew that that wasn't my initial reaction. But they're on a much bigger ship before. And then they talk about the fact that they used to have a bigger crew. And you're like, and then they move into the Millennium Falcon conversation, and you're like, oh, well, they just need more people to help them out. Because they were struggling before, like, they obviously need more people now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, whether you literally think that or subconsciously think that, like, you're just like, oh, well, no, I mean, that makes sense that maybe they would hire her on, because she does seem pretty good.
magically at everything.
Yeah, she's really fucking good at everything. Except blowjobs. She's no good at blowjobs.
Yeah,
too much teeth.
Way too much teeth.
But she... But you set that up, and then, like, he's like, yeah, no, I mean, Drew kind of likes, you know, whatever. And then they, that was the only other weird part, though, is, so then after he dies, she joins Chewie on the Millennium Falcon, which is awesome and really cool, and I'm totally on board with that. But there's, like, a weird thing, because he was like, Chewie really likes you, and then, like,
The look that Chewie gives her?
Yeah, where Chewie's kind of like, I'm gonna fuck you.
Yeah, no, he kind of like, he does like this little look out the side of his eye, and you're just like, huh.
Yeah, you're just like, I think Chewie wants to fuck her.
Oh, and the thing is, his dick is just as hairy as the rest of him.
Yeah.
Like, can you even imagine the matted down hair?
I think Chewie wants to get his matty haired dick wet.
It'd be like getting fucked with a pipe cleaner.
Oh, God.
But a big one.
But you just, like, you watch that part and you're just like, I wish Han Solo hadn't been like, Chewie likes you. Because it just...
But it, yeah, was, think, it was weird. It was a little weird.
Yeah. But then I think... So anyway, so I think the end, Luke is like, fuck, now I gotta go back. I want to go back.
He was having a nice little vacation there.
Yeah, he was like, ah, fuck. Yeah. He's like, I got my little cave and my little teapot. That's all I fucking need. I'm not eating snakes like Yoda, so I'm okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It could always be worse. He could have been Yoda stuck in a fucking mud hut eating snakes.
Eating snakes. He's like, I'm slightly better than that. When I decided to leave, I said, Luke... I looked at myself in the mirror and I said to myself, Luke, because that's what I call myself. I said, Luke, you are not going to live like Yoda. You will find a place that is rocky.
Cold.
Cold. Very windy on top. You will find a volleyball and you will draw a face on it and you will talk to it so you do not go crazy. And you will not eat snakes.
God, Yoda had the worst life after being a Jedi.
Oh, I feel so bad for Yoda.
Like Obi-Wan had it rough, but nothing like Yoda.
Oh, here's
like,
the worst part.
Huh?
Here's the worst part. Yoda couldn't reach his dick.
That's true,
I don't think he had, like, T-Rex arms almost. He didn't like, need I don't to, think though. He could. You don't think Yoda jerked off?
He didn't need his hand.
Oh, because he had the Force. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Right? Force jerk?
They call that the stranger.
That is the real stranger. But yeah, I mean, like, Obi-Wan had to live on fucking Tatooine. It's fucking hot and gross and all these weirdos. But, like, at least, like, he could do stuff. But Yoda, like, lived in a fucking hut.
Yeah.
He had no one to... He was, like, the only intelligent creature on the whole planet. Yeah. It was probably so, like, damp and gross all the time. Dagobah's disgusting.
Obi-Wan Kenobi was just, like, the crazy old man that lived on, like, the corner house that, like, left his Christmas decorations up way too long.
Just all year. And so then, he didn't have to put them back on.
Yeah, and then Yoda's, like, the North Pond hermit that, like, you're... It's like... Why the fuck do snakes keep disappearing out of my house?
He hasn't had contact with anyone in literally decades.
Yeah. And then you find him and you start talking to him, bring him on a ship. And he's like, oh, what the fuck is this? You're just like, what is this? Very funny it is. And you're like, it's Frasier. It's been off the air for like 15 years. This I've never heard of.
Ugh,
fucking Yoda. Frasier's amazing. Shut your mouth.
Yoda really, I think he drove himself insane, too.
He totally did.
Because he's way goofier in the original trilogy than those prequels. I mean, I don't know why I'm judging a character based on the prequels, but, like, I think he did drive himself a little insane.
Oh, no, he definitely did.
Sounds brutal.
Oh boy. I think that covers most of what I had to say.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed in that Captain Phasma.
Yeah. That they kind of made a
big deal about, and then they're just like, and then like what happened to her, you don't really know about.
No, you don't.
They just make a joke about sticking her in a trash compactor.
And then that never, I mean, it never like actually happens.
Supposedly she's supposed to come back.
Really?
So I don't know. But that was the other thing that struck me as weird. The fact that Han Solo held on to that for so long. Like 30 plus years he's been hanging on to this trash compactor thing.
I mean, it was very gross.
It was very gross. But we're talking 30 plus years and he's still hanging on to this trash compactor thing. I'm thinking Kylo isn't the only reason him and Leia got divorced.
Why? You think he can't let shit go?
Yeah, I think he can't let shit go. And I think specifically he keeps bringing up the trash compactor. Because
it was her fault.
Yeah, it was her idea.
Right.
So, like, even, like, they're trying to buy, like, they're, like, trying to buy a house or something like that. And she's like, no, I think it's a good idea. He's like, what, you think it's a good idea, like, going down that trash chute?
Right. Exactly.
And she's do we do this every time?
So in their relationship, it wasn't the woman who couldn't let go of things. It was Han Solo.
I think it was Han Solo. And I think it was specifically the trash compactor that he couldn't let go of.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have liked it either.
I think he specifically held on to the trash compactor thing way too much. And they would just bring it up at the end. Like, you know when you get, when you're in a relationship and you get to that point in a fight where you're just arguing about nonsense? And you just bring up
I know what you're talking about. I personally know, but yeah, I gotcha.
You don't personally know? You've never had this once in a relationship where you're arguing about nonsense?
Not really.
No. Oh.
I avoid confrontation, which is probably not healthy. And it's probably not healthy either to avoid all confrontation.
Yeah, that's real. Anyway, so you're just talking about nonsense and you're just bringing shit up that has no relevance to whatever you're fighting about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like whenever they got into a fight about stuff and they'd been fighting for a little while and finally they were just both so exhausted, he was like, oh, and the fucking trash compactor. And she's like, you are not bringing that up again. He's like, yes, I am.
Yeah.
And it was just like the go-to late night fight thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep.
Like it's 3 a.m. Let me bring up the trash compactor again.
It's like it's their equivalent of like someone bringing up like, well, you slept with so and so in college, and it's like it doesn't matter. It was so long ago.
Yeah, it was before we were even together.
Yeah. Why do you care?
But they still bring it up every single time. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. The trash compactor is Stacy on the third floor. So
yeah.
it's the same.
Ugh, what a slut.
The same fucking thing. Also, the Kylo Ren without the mask really sounded like Javier Bardem, just throwing it out there.
He also looked like Hans Gruber.
He did kind of look like Hans Gruber.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He talked like Javier Bardem. It was like a combo. It was like almost like in between a Hans Gruber and Javier Bardem.
That was the other thing that took me out of the movie, because I'm sitting there going, who the fuck does he sound like? And at one point, I literally closed my eyes and I'm listening, and then I got the image of Javier Bardem in Skyfall, and I was like, oh, that's who he sounds like.
Exactly. It was weird. But as soon as I saw him without the mask, I was just like, is this fucking, what's his face's kid?
Yeah.
I can't think of his name right now.
Severus Snape?
Yes. Exactly.
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with us?
Hello, you've reached Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
I love that Family Guy bit. Anyway, there's something else I was gonna point out real quick. I don't know. Fuck it.
Well,
yeah, is there anything else?
I feel like I've said my piece. Overall, final review, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Not original trilogy, just below.
Okay.
Just below.
I think it could improve with the next ones, though, because I think they've done a bit of setup work for the next movies.
I agree. I'm actually looking. I think there's going to be a lot more good stuff in the next few movies.
Yeah, because we don't know what's going on with that Supreme Leader guy. Oh, that was the other thing. You got the fucking Darth Vader type character talking to a hologram.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And I was really glad when he flick it out and was a hologram, because I was like, this guy better not be a fucking giant.
I said the same thing.
I was like, that is so stupid.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is lame. And then it flick it out and I'm like, thank Christ.
If this guy's a giant, I'm gonna suck my own dick.
Yeah, no, I was gonna be so mad.
Even if this guy isn't, I'm gonna try and suck my own dick.
Yeah, I mean, what else am I gonna do tonight? I got time on my hands.
But still, I don't want this guy to be a fucking giant. I was so concerned about the same exact thing. Like, I was so upset. I was like, he's talking about a fucking giant?
Like, no, it was, like, taking me out of the scene. Like, I'm watching it, and I'm, like, not even really paying attention to the dialogue, because I'm like, oh, my God, this is – what is going on here?
And the other thing is this CGI was really bad, too. Like, if it was supposed to be a real-life giant, the CGI was really shitty.
Oh, yeah.
And then he flickers, and you're like, oh, he's a hologram.
He's a hologram, so whatever. It's forgivable.
All right, yeah. So, of course, it's really shitty because it's a hologram. It's not a real person. This makes sense again. All
right. Right. Yeah. And I'm assuming he's not huge.
Yeah. He's probably not a giant. But we don't even know who the fuck he is.
Oh, he's just the Emperor.
He's the Emperor reborn. He's the Emperor type, but we don't know his backstory at all. Yeah. And then we have, two other things that come later on in the story. Again, Han and Chewie are in trouble for smuggling.
Yeah.
Because they always are.
There's people after them because they didn't make their shipments.
Yeah. And then, I did really like where Han Solo finally uses Chewie's crossbow gun.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I really like that.
Yeah. No, that was cool. That was cool.
And then, of course, Han Solo is the one that saves the day.
As always.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's what Han Solo does. Now they got to find somebody else to do it.
He was good. He was, there was a couple of parts, though, where he was talking shit to people, and it was pretty funny. Like, when they're trying to infiltrate on the planet there towards the end, and he's given Finn shit about being a sanitation worker.
Oh, yeah,
And then Chewie's like bitching. He's like, oh, you're cold? Like,
oh, yeah.
It was classic Han Solo.
Yeah, it was really good. I really like the part where they're in the base, and then Finn's like, no, I gotta find her. I gotta find her. And Han Solo like gives him a head nod, and Finn's like, what? What is this? Why are you doing that? Can you stop doing that? Stop doing it. And Han like finally like hits him on the chest and goes, no, we're and points, and he's like, oh my god.
Yeah. No, it was good. It's good.
It was very, very a very good Han Solo performance, but
it was.
But yeah, he kept some people were really pissed off though that like after the last movie, Han Solo lost like everything. And I was like, I don't know though, like it's kind of like the, like, oh, everything's sunshine and roses and, like, everything's going to be perfect. Like, not everything's going to be perfect. Like, after you go through shit like that, like, look, there's a reason Keanu Reeves wasn't in Speed 2 Cruise Control. Because there's no way. Hang on, stay with me here. Stay with me. Because in real life, people that go through events like that are not destined to stay together. And it doesn't work. Therefore, it also makes sense that Han and Leia don't stay together and that everybody that saved the world isn't going to be happy and live happily ever after.
I cannot believe that you just used that to justify Han and Leia not being together.
Am I wrong, though?
No, I mean, I guess not. Well, sir.
All right.
You know, that was probably a good way to close.
Yes, let's send it on that note. Thank you for listening to But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bordela.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
Remember, everyone, no regrets, and speed 2 cruise control. It's worth watching at least once.